Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time. You want the best Celtics talk around? Here it is. This is the Rain and Jays podcast. Here's John and Jay.
Okay. So, yeah. So this this is I figure, like a podcast, equivalent of the, Celtics, slow starts.
And you're down 24-3. You are down 24-3, John. Korver just hit four threes. RJ Hunter is getting cussed at by Brad Stevens, and the Celtics are about to be down. Oh, because of the slow starts like yours right there.
It's painful. It's painful. So here we are. We're down 2-0. Okay, fine. So you go to Atlanta. You lose home court advantage. So coming back to Boston down 2-0, not shocking. Atlanta's good. They held home court. Fine, but it's the way they're down 2-0, where the first half in game one, we've already talked about that in the last show, and then the first quarter in game two, when all you've done for days is talk about how you need to get out to a better start, and you come out to a worse start. You can't blame this on just Avery Bradley. You can't just blame it on Jay Crowder's 75% right ankle. This is something mentally wrong with the Celtics. To come out that slow, that poorly, after all you've said, are they trying too hard? Is it too much in their head? What the hell happens in the first 5 minutes of a game where they look like they have never played the game of basketball before?
I mean, that first 5 minutes was so disgusting on every level. The defense on Kyle Korver was just abominable. Someone's in the post and Marcus Smart digs off of Korver. No, you do not leave Korver under any circumstances. That is specifically what the Celtics talk about every time they play the Hawks. Do not leave Kyle Korver. He can punish you whenever he's left wide open. And he's not like the hardest guy to take out of a game. If you guard him, you can stop him. But the Celtics didn't guard him. And they paid a steep price. 24-3. Their offense without Bradley was an absolute mess. And everything else just unraveled straight from the start. And I mean, they actually showed some heart. They played hard the whole time. They brought it back to about 10. Amir Johnson had a great, great game. But that start, and I do think Stevens needs to change his starting lineup. It's
absolutely
time. It is. It's time to go small. Doesn't matter how many perimeter guys are out. Doesn't matter anything. You have to go small. Throw Jarebko in there. Get some shooting. Get some energy. take Sullinger, put Sullinger on the bench. And Sullinger had a good season, but it's not a Sullinger series. It's pretty clear, I think, through two games and then the last game of the regular season against Atlanta, that it's time for Sullinger to get put to the bench.
Yeah, it's not. This is just not the right matchup for him. The Celtics desperately need.
You know what they should do? They should play him against Muscala. Play him against Muscala.
That's fine.
Have him post-ups against Muscala, offensive rebounds against Muscala. That would be cool. I'd be all right with that. But don't start him, and definitely don't play him in big lineups, even for 3 minutes like they did in game two. Though he and Amir Johnson have played 7 minutes together, the Celtics have been outscored by 17 points in those minutes.
That's disgusting.
That's unfathomable. That's almost impossible.
You can't do that. Like I think Brad Stevens, I think it gets a little bit of a pass just because of the injuries. You cannot play those two together anymore.
Although, I mean, that was their starting lineup the whole.
Fine, I get that.
Then,
but
so,
come on.
So you get starting them in game one, right? You have to.
Sure.
You have to at least understand.
Yeah.
And then he yanked him in 4 minutes game one. It wasn't like he left him out there for a while. And then game two, I get it too, because then you lose Bradley, you lose Kelly Olynyk. So he's like, all right, we'll just try to get, you know, 4 minutes of a big lineup in before we use all our small guys and wear them out for the rest of the game. And it just, you can't even get away with that.
Nope.
And so I give him a pass for both. I mean, he yanked him 3 minutes. It was 3 minutes. And even then, it was like they got off to just a pitiful start. And then it snowballed, and Kyle Korver hit a few more threes. And man, it just, things got bad.
I
7 points.
Go ahead.
The Hawks didn't score over the last 5:28 of the first quarter and still led by 17.
Yeah.
That's almost impossible.
The Hawks, it's almost, in a way, you want to spot the Hawks like a 10-point lead. They don't know how to play with a lead for some reason. But whatever. I think part of the problem is that maybe that everybody's trying to get a little too into, I don't know, hero ball in some way, but not the traditional hero. Like, everybody's trying too hard to make a play. Everybody out there feels like we desperately need something, and I have to do something above and beyond because this is the playoffs, and this is what you do. So Marcus Smart, what does he do? He leaves Korver to dig down in the post and try to make a steal and gets burned. Isaiah Thomas, trying desperately to get into the paint, gets caught up, gets blocked, gets out of position. Guys are trying too hard rather than doing the things that got them to this spot. I think some guys might be getting caught up in the moment and getting away from the things, even when they're shorthanded, getting away from the things that really the disciplined play that got them to this point. I can excuse RJ Hunter a little bit because he hasn't been out there. It's kind of funny in a way to see him come in after Marcus Smart got the shot to the ribs. He came in, he blew an assignment, gave up another Korver three and came right back out and got just chewed out by Stevens. That stuff, look, Hunter's a rookie. This is a big spot for him. I can see him kind of screwing up. The other guys, they need to be smarter than that, and they need to figure out a way to just play basketball. I said it the last show. Just go out there and play. Don't do anything stupid. Don't try to do more than you're supposed to do. Just play. Let it go.
I can – obviously, you expect screw-ups out of young guys. One screw-up that's completely unforgivable is leaving Kyle Korver. You or I, if we were out there, we would know, okay, locate Kyle Korver and do not let him get a touch on this inbound pass. And if he gets a touch, you better be right in his airspace when he gets it so that he can't shoot. Instead, Hunter somehow – fails to locate Korver, hits a wide open three from the corner immediately. And I mean, you can't do stuff like that. You can't do stuff like that in the playoffs. You can't do stuff like that in the regular season. You can't do stuff like that in the preseason. That is unforgivable. And I don't mean to rail on Hunter specifically because a lot of guys left Kyle Korver and it wasn't just him, but it's just been weird. Like, how do you go through a whole season? And honestly, their defense hasn't been the problem in the first two games. It really hasn't. But that first 5 or 6 minutes, it was just bad. You have to locate Kyle Korver at all times. And things just snowballed. And when Korver gets hot, they go to another level.
Yeah.
And the Celtics got smacked by that other level.
Yeah, it's just horrible to watch. Just there's no stopping it. You're watching a car approach one intersection, another car from another direction. You just see it happening, and you know it's going to be a disgusting, horrible crash. And you can just see the whole thing happening. There's nothing you can do about it. So the Celtics, Avery Bradley's out for at least the next couple of games. Now, he thinks, seemingly, that he could come back if the Celtics can win one of these, at least one of these games at home. So, two questions. Can the Celtics win any of these games at home? And can Avery Bradley legitimately come back if they do?
I would say first, yes. Yes, they can. I mean, they held the Hawks to 89 points. They shot as bad as they'll shoot. I mean, even with the current amount of shooting out there, they're not going to be worse than 5 for 28. They're not going to be worse than 1 for 13 in the first half. And I think more importantly, what got overlooked a little bit, is they forced 16 turnovers, which is, you know, a pretty good number, and they scored 6 points off them. That I don't think that'll happen. If they score 16 turnovers, they'll score another 10 points on top of the 6 that they scored in game 2. So that's 10 points right there. And then it's a close game. And then who knows what happens. So I think that they have enough to win, especially you go home to the Garden, you get Jake Crowder not to shoot 1 for 9, you get Marcus Smart not to shoot 1 for 11, you get Isaiah Thomas not to shoot 4 for 15, and things change. And it's not like they're incapable of shooting. It's just that they don't have a lot of shooting. And the way Atlanta's playing defense, they need to knock down shots, and they just haven't been. And they keep saying it. All we need to do is knock down shots. That'll open things up. And it sounds so simple. It's not. Without Avery Bradley, without Kelly Olynyk, they just have no shooting. They were 28th in three-point percentage during the regular season. And without those two guys, it's so much worse. And it's a serious, serious problem. And you look back, you think back to that regular season, the last day of the regular season, when everyone was like, man, brilliant win, and then they got stuck with freaking Atlanta. And why everyone was upset they got stuck with freaking Atlanta is that Atlanta is experienced. Atlanta had the number one defense after the All-Star break, and that number one defense is designed to stop teams like the Celtics that have no shooting. Paul Millsap, Al Horford, Kent Bazemore, those guys are long, they're active, they get their hands on balls. And right now it's just choking the Celtics offense out.
Well, yeah. And I go into Jay Crowder. I remember Jay Crowder at the beginning, I think it was after game one, where he said, we need to step into our shots. And I haven't seen Jay Crowder do that at all. I don't think they respect his ability to drive because of his ankle. And, you know, Jay Crowder does this thing, and he's gotten called for a couple of offensive fouls during the regular season for it. You know, when Jay Crowder steps into a shot, he kind of does that split leg landing where his right foot kind of lands a foot and a half in front of his left foot. You've seen it, right? So that's when he's stepping into a shot. He gets it in rhythm. He's kind of moving forward. His momentum is moving towards the basket. And it goes in a lot of times when he's shooting like that. I haven't seen that happen at all this series or in a while, because if they're not respecting his ability to drive, they're getting up on him. He's not going to go by them. They're forcing him to take kind of sort of fadeaway jumpers because he's trying to create space for himself. He has confidence in his ability to shoot. But the shots that he's taking, he's fading away and he's missing. He's not taking the normal shot in rhythm. That hurts. His inability to drive consistently, and we've seen when his offense is great, he's driving a lot. And when you step off of him, he can step into a shot, and then he's hitting his threes. What, three of six? I mean, two of six? At least a couple of them. That, I think, is a huge, huge problem for the Celtics offense. If you're looking at Jay Crowder and the things you're saying, get Jay Crowder not to shoot this kind of, you know, this percentage, I think his ankle really is preventing him from doing the things that gets him to shoot a good percentage.
Yeah, you think about during the regular season, almost every game he had at least one just straight line drive to his right where the defender didn't close out right, and he goes right by, gets an easy layup. He did that one or two times a game, it felt like, during the regular season. He hasn't come close to doing that. Maybe he's done that one, maybe two times since the injury, and he played six games in the regular season and now two in the postseason. He just doesn't have that explosiveness. He clearly isn't the same when he's switching on the smaller guys defensively. I mean, it's really a shame that Bradley got hurt, Olynyk got hurt, Crowder got hurt, because I think this series would have been a fantastic series if both teams were fully healthy. And instead, you know, the Celtics are really limited, whereas the Hawks, you know, all their key guys are healthy and really playing well.
Yeah, well, that's where the luck comes in. We always talk about you need a little bit of luck. And a lot of that luck comes in the form of health. When you don't have the health, then you don't have, especially when you're the Celtics, you don't have the key things and that make you succeed. Look, the Celtics are at their best when they've got everybody going fully healthy, 100%, doing the things that they do well. If they don't, and if guys try to do too much, this is the stuff that happens. It's just the bottom line. So all that said, there is still that little bit that says, but after the first quarter of game one, they played each other completely evenly. It was quarters two, three, and four, dead even tie in game two. Game one, the Celtics were outscored by 17 in the first half. They won the second half by 16. So the ability to play with the Hawks is there. They just have to avoid this disaster of a beginning to this, or a disaster at any point. They have to play pretty perfectly to compete with the Hawks. So in the interest of them competing and doing something perfect, you got to figure something out. So you start, you go back to Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder. You start what? Jarebko and Amir Johnson, right? We're in on that.
Yeah.
And if Olynyk, what's your sense from practice? Is Olynyk going to go on Friday?
I really don't have a sense of that. He wants to play. I mean, the pain on his face when we talked to him before game two and he couldn't play. And someone asked him about, you know, what his reaction to, and he said, it sucks. It really sucks. And Kelly Olynyk, like, for he never says stuff like that. Like, for him to say that, like, he was devastated that he couldn't play. But it's just a health thing. He doesn't think he could help the team, I think. He doesn't think he can bump inside. He doesn't think he can rebound. He doesn't think he can defend. I don't think he thinks he can shoot. So I'm not sure how to gauge it. The good thing is they have today. Today was an off day for them. They didn't practice. Tomorrow is a day of practice. So they have two days in between, and maybe there's a chance. But they need him. They need him badly. And honestly, if it takes just playing and not being the same, and I don't know if – I'm not sure if he's medically cleared, to be honest. But if he's medically cleared and the trainers allow him to play, go out there. Even if you're not 100%, even if you're not 75%. The threat of him being out there is so much different than a lot of the guys in their front court. And they need that threat right now because the Hawks are just throttling them and really suffocating them inside. Just long arms everywhere. Penetrators have nowhere to go. And they just need that shooting. Yeah. If he can play, he's got
to
play.
That's the big thing. Isaiah Thomas needs some space to operate. He can't get to the rim. He gets swallowed up. It looks like they're playing a Syracuse 2-3 zone out there. That basically just daring the Celtics to shoot, and the Celtics can't. The Celtics were never a great shooting team this year, but they're just even worse now. And without Isaiah Thomas getting into the rhythm, then they're screwed. So, but you're coming home, little boost of energy. You can't start the way you've been starting at home in front of your home crowd. We'll see. And we'll see, you know, maybe Terry Rozier and RJ Hunter, maybe they can learn from their experience in game two. They've made some dumb mistakes. Hunter got two three-pointers blocked. Two.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, I don't remember him getting a three-pointer blocked all season. Obviously, he has, like, that funky low release, but he gets it off really quickly. And I feel like that was just a fluke. Like it wasn't just super quick, long guy. Like, Korver blocked one of them, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like that was just a fluke. That'll never happen again.
And then Terry Rozier, totally not knowing what the situation was, dribbling out the shot clock, just trying
and
to
then
go.
And fires the ball at Schroeder.
Yeah. So compounding the problem by getting a technical foul, that's dumb. But
And they both made good plays. You know, I thought Hunter made like three or four really good passes.
Yeah, he did.
And Rozier, you know, he had his moments too. I thought, you know, they both showed flashes. It's just they can't have those rookie moments. You cannot afford those rookie moments in the playoffs. And I don't know. Stevens played them both at the same time for a little while. I thought that was an odd decision because it's tough to get away with that.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. And at that point, I will admit, like, they were just searching.
I was going to say, that's not an odd decision. That's a desperate decision.
Yeah, they had gotten curb stopped for a while. But, yeah, you're going to need those guys as long as Avery Bradley's out, and especially if Kelly Olynyk's out. So they've got to contribute at least a little bit. Yeah, I mean, they play Tyler Zeller. They're just searching right now. As we've said so many times, like, when they lose one guy, so much about their synergy changes. And now they lose not just Avery Bradley, who's really important because of shooting, because of the defense, because of so many of his back cuts, his energy, everything. And then you lose Kelly Olynyk, and it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. and yeah, so they need to adjust. They need to, hopefully, you know, for their sake, going home, getting a TD Garden crowd will give them a boost. And I do think Atlanta can't play defense much better than it did in the first two games. Like, obviously, that's been the number one defense for a couple months now. Really good defense. To play the way they played, I mean, they've been unbelievable defensively. They haven't had hardly any lapses. In transition, Paul Millsap, there was one stretch in game two. He went back, caught up to Jonas Repko, went up vertically, blocked him. Celtics get a stop. Isaiah Thomas comes in, bursts ahead for what looks like it should be an open layup. Millsap comes in and swats it away. I mean, the Hawks are just playing out of their minds defensively. I don't know if they can sustain quite that level of defense for the rest of the series. And also, the Celtics just need to play a lot better offense. They were forcing stuff in game two. They really – it seemed like they got flustered when they got up behind and started doing uncharacteristic things. And – I mean, even at the end of the first quarter, like, Evan Turner misses a wide open layup. Jared Sullinger misses a wide open layup. Just just signs it. They were kind of spooked by the Hawks defense. It wasn't just that the Hawks were making plays at that point. It was just that they thought the Hawks would be making plays. And so they've got to be better. They've got to calm down. And maybe the TD Garden crowd will do it for them.
Paul Millsap, is he good? I feel like he's a
stiff. He's a
stiff,
isn't he? Felger told me he's a stiff.
Yeah. I was listening to Felger. He told me he was a stiff. So I don't know what the Celtics are doing out there. I think that it all boils down to a mentality. These guys aren't this bad. They're not. Even though they're shorthanded, and even though we know what that domino effect is, they're not this bad. And that's my big thing, is that they need to go out and just do the things that they can do. Do their jobs. The Belichick rule. Go do your job. And don't try to do anything more than that. And don't just go and do your thing. And if it gets blocked, it gets blocked. But don't be stupid out there, and don't overreact. I don't know. It just it's frustrating, but they just need to calm down and play ball. So let's see. Any Twitter questions here? I know you put out the call for some Twitter questions. I don't even really want to address this. We were asked about another blog post about how much blame does the Celtics medical staff deserve for the injuries. I don't even really
none. They were one of the healthier teams throughout the year. Jared Sullender, who's been a real health problem, missed one game. Isaiah Thomas played all 82. Avery Bradley, you know, missed a couple of short stretches, but nothing too serious. Marcus Smart, same thing. Amir Johnson was mostly healthy throughout the year and peaked at the right time. So come on, to blame the Celtics medical staff because Avery Bradley's hamstring popped in game one. Come on.
That's out of the Felger playbook.
Yeah.
that's
an absurd question.
It really
whoever
is.
That
it
is.
Really is. It
you're absurd.
I'm not even gonna give them any credit. It's not even worth mentioning when you're doing something that was saying something that silly. Boston Ball. What are the reasons not to keep Evan Turner aside from his 3-point shot? Ticks every box. At Boston Ball says he'd give him about $10 to $14 million a year. I think that's a little high for Evan Turner. Reasons not to keep Evan Turner? I think the 3-point shot. We've discussed this before. I think we're on the same page. If you can bring him back in a reasonable number, he does fit this role, and he's versatile. And if he can keep doing what he's doing in this role, sure, you know, at a decent number, maybe less than $10 million. But in the new salary cap, I don't know if maybe $10 million is a decent number. But I think we've said, if you can get a guy who can kind of run that second unit and hit threes, then that's a different story.
Yeah, and then obviously we've seen in this first round series, they need to upgrade shooting. And the other perimeter guys, all the other perimeter regulars, are all under contract to return. Evan Turner is the only one who's going to be a free agent. And then you have RJ Hunter, you have James Johnson, you have Terry Rozier. Who knows what you have in them, but the Celtics might think some of those guys deserve minutes. And if you think one, two of those guys deserve minutes, then Turner, you're probably not going to want to spend $10 million on Turner when you can go out and spend that on someone else who can shoot, space the floor, do other things that Turner doesn't, and let those guys kind of try to fill parts of his role, I guess.
Yeah.
And Turner's been really good.
He has been good.
He has done a lot of things to help their team. He was one of the few guys, I thought, who brought it in game two. And, you know, other than that stretch when Amir Johnson beasted Mike Muscala, Evan Turner scoring against Thabo Sefolosha was one of the few times when the Celtics kind of got a little bit of rhythm going. So Evan Turner has had a really good year. I don't know what the Celtics will do with him going forward.
Yeah.
And
like you've said in the past podcast, if you really want to develop Marcus Smart as a point guard, backup point guard, or however you want to develop him, I don't know if keeping Evan Turner around is really going to help that. So I've definitely come around on Evan Turner. I can see it. I know exactly how he fits. But the Celtics need shooting. And to give $10 million a year to a guy who can't shoot beyond 12 feet, 15 feet, I don't know if that's really the smartest thing to do. It really just depends on what else the Celtics get in free agency. If they can table Evan Turner for a little while, and if he doesn't get the other offers from another team and just leaves on his own, if you can table that and see if you can get other shooting, then maybe this it'll work, but you kind of have to wait and see on him. Bailey says, I haven't completely given up yet, but a quick shout-out to a 48-win season in year three of a teardown rebuild. Don't want to lose that. I really don't want to lose that. If the Celtics go out and lose game three or lose this series, and hopefully they don't get swept, but if they lose it in five and they don't look good, I don't want the regular season to be lost, because that was a really good regular season. And history might erase some of the factors into what happened in the playoffs, but it's hard to blame the Celtics and these guys after everything that they've been through for the injuries and the bad luck. So I don't want to lose sight of what has been a pretty good regular season.
Yeah, and when you look at it, you know, 6 minutes left of game one, even after the horrible start, they pull ahead by three, and that's when Bradley gets hurt. So they are 6 minutes away from stealing game one, and then Bradley gets hurt. They commit a lot of errors down the stretch of game one. Game two clearly doesn't go well. But you can't judge a season based on what happens in one series against a really good team in the Hawks when the Celtics are so beaten up. And you have to look at it more so, you know, Isaiah Thomas developed into an all-star. Jay Crowder, when he's healthy, he's a legitimate two-way force. You know, up and down the roster, guys improved, guys made strides. Obviously, there are still some things you want. You want Marcus Smart to develop as a shooter, scorer, playmaker. You want other young guys to step up, earn their minutes for next season. There are more things you want, but this season was a good one. Regardless of what happens the rest of the series, they could get swept. This season was a good one. And it's tough that they've had bad luck at this stage. And you'd like to see them at least get a win or two to kind of bring Stevens into the playoff win era. But still, you have to look at it objectively and realize this was a good season. They won 48 games with a young roster that allegedly didn't have any stars at the beginning of the year. And you have to look at that as a plus no matter what. And don't forget about that pick. That pick is going to come in.
That's true.
Come in real handy.
That's true.
That much.
That's true.
Nobody will remember the sweep when the Celtics get the number one pick.
Right.
I'll tell you that much.
And trade it to Indiana for Paul George.
Ooh, we're pulling out the Paul George pick. Would you rather have Paul George or Jimmy Butler?
Paul George.
Ooh.
I just think that he's... I mean, I might be a little turned off by all the talk of what Jimmy Butler has been lately. Not too turned off, but I think if you put Paul George out there, you could start him at the four.
Yeah, but then you could start Crowder at the four, Butler at the three.
You could, or you could start Crowder at the three and George at the four.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I'd still love to be Danny Ainge calling up Larry Bird and say, you know, it's been real over there, but let's be honest. You're going to lose to Toronto. You're middling around. Here's the quick reset button. You get the number one overall pick. We'll give you, you know, a couple of these other guys. Who knows? Whatever you need to make it work. And, you know, you get Paul George and you move forward. It's a pipe dream, but it's something that I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I don't know whether I'd rather have George or Butler. I think I would probably want to have George just because he's taller, longer.
Yeah.
But Butler's good, and he's a better pick-and-roll playmaker. He even played some point guard toward the end of the season for the Bulls and racked up a few big double-doubles. So...
You can't go wrong with either one. But that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, we're getting way
ahead of ourselves. Okay. Before we wrap it up, I would like to go to Twitter for one more thing. It's a little bit longer. It comes from, in this account, he's at Aus Celtics fan. It's Justin from Australia. So I'm going to read a few of his tweets. There are a few here. But I think it's important. He says, first of all, this is a statement I'd appreciate you broadcasting or at least reading. To the point, my engagement with the team has been a mess. I miss many games. I can't keep up. Yet every week there are 60 minutes I look forward to, organized by two amazing guys, John Corrales and Jay King, Antoine and the Truth, determined, skillful, and with your own swagger. Busting ass to produce a show, Jay staggering straight off of flights, still on the podcast. John's killer Simpsons references, Jay having no idea what they mean, which is just as funny. The Derek Lee rants, the Turner till Derek Lee rants, the way you keep us grounded after wins. The last 6 months has given me a real kick in the guts with worsening mental health. The way you keep us grounded after losses, you keep us balanced all season long with your insights. The back and forth between John Corrales and Jay King this season has been so much fun. It's given me a brief outlet where I feel okay with rain and Jays. I feel like my old Celtics fan self again. Excuse me. To me, you two guys are not just Boston legends, thank you, but simply put, legends with the best podcast. Thank you for giving me a little piece of myself back. Always much love and respect from Australia. So first of all, many, many awesome things said about us, which way too respectful. But thank you. I appreciate that. I know, Jay, you appreciate that. Two things I want to point out here. One, the strength that Justin has for going very public with his struggle with mental health issues that he has. And if you want to go to his timeline, feel free. But that is something that I think is really important. Haven't been touched by that myself. For those who don't know, one of my best close personal friends committed suicide. We're coming up on, it's been 20 years now. 20 plus years. And it's one of my closest friends of all time. And it's something that I think about on a very regular basis. And so I'm sensitive to that. And it's a struggle. It's a real fight. So I want to commend him for, first of all, the strength to publicly share that. Because I know he's going through a lot. And we've become friends. And I know that he's working really hard. And he's really passionate about getting that out there. So take a moment for you guys to just, you know, when it comes to that, when it comes to mental health, just be wary of when somebody is dealing with that, you can't see it. It's not like Avery Bradley, when he falls down and he grabs his hamstring, you see that, you know, he hurt his hamstring. You don't know if someone's going through an emotional difficulty, some sort of issue like that. So please be respectful and mindful and try to learn more about it. That's one thing. Secondly, I want to address the bigger Celtics family and the fact that we get to do this show and you guys listen to it and the numbers have been great. Like the numbers have been growing and just the fact that so many of you guys listen to this, I'm so happy and proud, even in this dark time where we're all pissed off after going down 2-0 to the Hawks. The fact that we can do this and you guys can be a part of it and we just kind of fit into this little piece of your life is amazing. It's always been amazing to me. It always will be. The fact that Jay King and I didn't know each other for the longest time, but became friends through our blogs, through, you know, just kind of doing the same things and appreciating each other's work. And finally this season, Jay, coming together and putting a podcast together. So I just want to say thanks to everybody, and I'm honored, and I feel like it's a privilege to, if in any way we can enhance your Celtics viewing and listening and just your Celtics world, then I'm happy to be a little part of that. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really touched that even one person thinks that way about us and enjoys listening to us that much, and obviously, yeah, I mean, that really just touched me. I don't know what else to say. I don't really know how else to react right now because that touched my heart. Like, you don't think when you're sitting here talking for 45 minutes about Evan Turner's rise and Jonas Jerebko's, you know, how this is a Jonas Jerebko series and maybe they should sit Sullinger. You don't think like wow, there could be someone out there who really appreciates this. And so our thoughts are with you, man. And just stay strong. And I'm glad that in our own small way, by being idiots and talking about the Celtics, we can help. So we will keep podcasting, not just for you, but for us, because we love it too. But we're glad you love it too.
Yeah. Being idiots is something we do very well. So
yeah, we've always been good at that. And now we do it together.
We spent a whole lifetime being really good at that. So, guys, thank you very much for listening. And thanks for everything. So hopefully the Celtics aren't idiots Friday night. Although, the wedding that I'm going to be at starts at the tip-off. I can't stress how much that angers me. So I'm going to have to catch up on that after the fact. We'll see. We'll see how they do. And maybe if me not watching somehow cosmically gets them to win, then I'll just have to watch on DVR the rest of the series. I don't care. I will do that. I will make that sacrifice. So we will see what happens after Game 3. Hopefully we'll have Games 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 to talk about. But Game 3 is first Friday night. We'll talk about it at some point during this weekend. So we will see you next time on the Rain and Jays podcast.